When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16:13-16. And now it's time for Who Do You Say I Am with Father Mitch Pacwa. And now, Father Pacwa.
Peace of God be with you. I'm Father Mitchell Pacwa, and we're here to talk about the New Age movement. Over the past weeks and all the past episodes of this series, we've talked a lot about some very strange things. But strange things that are very popular, too. We've looked at unidentified flying objects and extraterrestrials. We've taken a look at different personality systems, astrology, various forms of the occult. We looked at beliefs in Hinduism, different forms of psychology and different ways of doing psychotherapy and psychotechnology. Things like EST, Earhart Seminar Training by Werner Earhart, and Transcendental Meditation. We looked at the history of occultism in the West and Oriental religion in, as it's come to the United States, theosophy, lots and lots of things. And these things have grown in popularity in our society. That some of the New Age leaders have said that more than any other time in the history of the world, the average person is now doing this stuff. I don't know for sure about the statistics on that, but there definitely seems to be an increase, to my perception, that in the use of the occult, the New Age, the mystical, the mysterious, and people are looking for something. Now, in this last episode of our series, I'd like to talk about some of our responses to it. What are we to do as Catholics? How are we to talk to New Agers? How are we supposed to act ourselves? What should our concerns be with it? How are we to counteract the spread of the New Age movement? These are all very important questions. Now, first of all, when we talk about New Agers and how we're supposed to deal with them, keep in mind something that Randall Bear said in his book, Inside the Nightmare of the New Age, or the New Age Nightmare, that there are different levels of involvement and belief in the New Age movement. There's some people who have only the very most superficial understanding of it. And they're just, you know, very, you know, loosely attached to it. And they said, "Oh, yeah, I've been to a psychic, or I one time saw Ramtha, or I like stories about extraterrestrials, or, oh, I think I saw something flying in the sky," and so on. They're just the most flirting relationship with the New Age movement. But these people can also go to the second level, which is that of the dabbler in the New Age movement. That there are some people who dabble in it, say, once or twice a month. They'll go to, say, a trance channeler, and they'll do so regularly. Or they will buy some crystals. Maybe their whole house won't be full of them, but they'll have some around. Or they'll have pyramids decorating their houses, and that they'll have some of these occult symbols throughout their homes and their environment. This is the dabbler who is, you know, getting a little more involved in it. And this is a very dangerous position. And then finally, there's the hardcore New Ager who is gung-ho that this is his whole world and is somewhat of an integrated version of this. That the person who's hardcore New Age will be a pantheist. Will believe in that he's God or she's God, that everything is God, and so on. The person who's hardcore New Age will often try to proselytize, that is, try to win you over. And that's one of the things about the New Age movement. They're not neutral. They're not just there saying, okay, you do your thing, I'll do mine. That's not the idea. They try to convert people. They really believe that this is true. We should expect them to try to convert us. Why shouldn't they? Because they think this is the meaning of life. And that they looked for the meaning of life and they found it in the New Age movement. So, of course, they're going to try to share that with other people. They might have disclaimers here and there that, you know, I'll just let other people have their own reality, which means they won't beat us over the head. But when they do so in books they've written to try to convert us to the New Age point of view. So what are we supposed to do in response to this? Well, first of all, I think, you know, as we look back over the past course, this past, you know, series of talks about the New Age movement, we need to realize that not all New Agers are totally wacko. They're not all crazy. Some of them hold crazy ideas, unprovable ideas, scientifically weak ideas. And that's, you know, something we should just reality. You can't avoid that reality. But that doesn't mean that they're totally spaced out, wacky, or anything like that. Some of them are very much educated, very responsible. They have positions in business. They are teachers. They want to communicate this to their students, whether in grammar school, high school, or college. Some of them are doctors with MDs. Some of them are psychologists, physicists, all kinds of other scientists. It's a wide variety of people, a wide range of types of personality, many of whom are very responsible and not all spaced out. And keep that in mind. So don't let a stereotype of who the New Age type of personality is, you know, stop you from realizing that New Age influence might be coming in from very reputable folks. Then, also be aware that you have something to offer them. That what they have, ultimately, is not very strong. What's my evidence for that? Well, first of all, I've mentioned to you many different occultic and cultic practices that come from the New Age movement. Whether it be, you know, est or astrology or crystals or any of these other things. And one of the things to keep in mind about all of these different cultic and occultic practices is that they are very, very trendy. While it might be somebody who is responsible using them and believing in them, I also find, and many other people find, that people in the New Age movement go from one fad to another. Yes, there is a basic underlying pantheism. There's a basic underlying monism. There's some basic ideas of a new age coming and a better age that's about to take place on the earth. But given those basic presuppositions, there's a lot of fadism. Because when you do astrology, eventually it gets boring and eventually it doesn't show you very much about yourself. Even people I know who were very much involved in things like the Enneagram and were considered experts at it have gotten out of it because after a while it leaves something to be desired. Crystals only help you so much for a while, and it's a fad, and people get bored with these fads. It doesn't have enough to really hold your interest, hold your life together. And so people hop around from one fad to another. And that's something that we should expect to have happen with them. And this is a way for us to start to move in on bringing them to something much, much better, namely faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to come back in just a moment to continue to discuss how we might start to respond to the New Age movement. So please stay with us. We've been talking about how we might start to evangelize the New Age movement and how we can start to respond to them. And I mentioned how there are different levels of involvement in the New Age, as in anything else, just as in the church, there are different levels of involvement. And that when we're dealing with New Agers, some of them are very responsible in other parts of their lives, but in some aspects, they'll be what I would think is irresponsible, open to all sorts of things that are fads, things that are occult and supernatural and parapsychological, and sometimes even cultic. And these will be very intelligent people who are involved in this. So how do we respond to them? Well, first of all, one of the things I've read again and again in the New Age literature is that they pride themselves on being very much open-minded. They are open to other things. And Shirley MacLaine, for instance, in her book Out on a Limb, another book, has said that you must be open-minded. I have to keep an open mind. And other New Agers ask us to do the same thing. Just keep your mind open and let the spirits or let the divine power, or the divine essence or the divine energy just work through with your mind open. Well, after a while, there's a point at which each one of us has to close our minds. That is, we have to make a decision. As soon as you make a decision that, yes, I believe this, then you have closed your mind. It's as simple as that. And New Agers do that too. So when a New Ager asks you to be open-minded to the supernatural and psychic stuff and parapsychological and so on, and to the possibility of a New Age taking place, you, on the other hand, have the right and the logical sense to say, all right, I'm going to be open-minded, but I want you to be open-minded too. Maybe you should be open-minded that what's going on when you contact UFOs and extraterrestrials is something that is just from your own imagination or maybe even something from evil spirits. Be open to that. If you are open-minded, if you want me to be open-minded, you have to be the same way. Same thing with astrology. You need to be open-minded that astrology might not work. And you have to be open-minded that Est might not work. And really try to force that issue of being open-minded on them, too. That it has to be a two-way street. Otherwise, they'll start off with, you know, the sense, well, see, I'm really on the in crowd. I'm with the New Age. I'm with what's going to happen. The New Age is inevitable. And because I'm in on what's happening for sure, I'll help lead you along to a better evolution. See, then don't let them think that. Don't let them get into that mentality. And along with this sense of calling them to be open-minded, we have to do another thing. And that is deal with the relativity barrier. This is something that Randall Baer, an ex-New Ager, really emphasizes. That there's a relativity barrier that they set up. Say, well, you have your reality, you have your truth, I have my truth. At your level of evolution, you believe in Jesus Christ. That's still from the age of Pisces. I, as a New Ager, would believe that I'm at a higher level of vibration and I'm in the Aquarian age, so I have my truth, you have yours. Don't let them get into that kind of relativity. That really push them to say, is there anything that really is true or not? Is there anything that is really truly good and moral and wonderful? And is there anything that really is truly bad and evil? There are different ways you can push that. Elliot Miller, another writer about the New Age movement and a former New Ager himself, has written that you need to push them to a point of saying, well, would it be all right if I killed you or if I killed your children? If I tortured your wife or I tortured your husband to death or I mutilated your children? I'd say, God, that's horrible. What a terrible thought. Aha, so there is then such a thing as a terrible thought. There is such a thing as something that is immoral in and of itself, where I'm not just trying to bring you to a higher state of mentality and that I'll just, you know, let you die and you know, you go to another level of incarnation or something. But really, if I were to torture your children to death and mutilate them while they're alive, that would be a horrible, disgusting thing, right? Right, it would be. I said, aha, so not all values are relative. And then once you get them to start to see that not everything is relative, there is such a thing as truth, then you've made a big step forward in helping to bring a New Ager towards Christ. See, so often what they can do with their worldview is say, look, you believe in Jesus Christ because he had a certain state of consciousness and he was higher, but his is relative to the belief in Maitreya or somebody else. Say, no! Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, and the life. And he is truth personified. And you New Agers cannot just make this relative, I'll do my thing, you do your thing. See, don't allow that and don't sit with it. But really try to call them to believe in absolute truth. And if they can come to know it, and that God wants them to know it, and God loves for them to know it. Now, another thing, too, in dealing with New Agers, is we have to be very careful. They understand Christians to be from the age of Pisces, and that we are old hat. We are old fuddy-duddies. They think of Christians as being very judgmental. And they'll use anything that you say judgmental and say, aha, see, I told you, you Christians are always judging us. And didn't your Jesus say, judge not lest you be judged by the same standard? That's right, he did say that. And we have to keep that in mind, that we're not there to be judgmental and say, I know you're going to hell. What I know is that doing things that go against God's word, going against God's commands, are mortal sins. And if there is such a thing as mortal sin, and mortal sin cuts off the life of grace in the soul, and I don't know whether you're going to hell or not, and I'm not here to judge you, God is going to judge you, not I. But I can know that from what he has said in his word, that this is something that's wrong. And what we need to do when addressing anybody who is not living in the full Christian life, we need to call them to understand that it's the act that is wrong. God loves you. He really does. God died for you on a cross. He totally gives himself to you and wants to pour his Holy Spirit into you. And there's a Father in heaven who just really wants to bring you to him, to hug you and just cherish you. But you also have to realize that the same God hates sinful deeds and that we may not commit any sinful deeds. And to help them to see that I'm not judging you, it's actions that I think are wrong. And not that I think are wrong, but that Scripture says is wrong. So this is the beginning. This is the start. But we're going to come back in just a moment to take a look at some of the other things that we must do in order to help save ourselves from the New Age influence and bring other people out of the New Age. So please stay with us. Welcome back. We've been talking about how we need to evangelize the New Age and the New Age people, and how we need to keep ourselves outside of that whole world, that whole realm. But one of the things that I also want all of us to keep very much in mind as we're dealing with a lot of New Age people is that they got into this because they're looking for the meaning of life. I've read that over and over and over again. Whether it's books about crystals, about space people becoming incarnates, about people, you know, coming back for reincarnation, or Shirley MacLaine's books, that all of them are saying, I want to know the meaning of life. Sometimes they're pressed by this because they have a disaster take place. Somebody dies or they have an illness. Other times they get into the New Age because of success. And they say, I've got success, I've done well, but what does it mean? Why bother? What's the purpose of it? And then they say, aha, I can go to the spirits or something else. They go other places to look for meaning in life. Well, look, these people want that meaning, and we can bring them to Christ, who gives them the meaning of life, a meaning that comes not just from ideas, but from the fact that the infinite God loves them infinitely. And we really want to focus in on how much God loves them and cherishes them. And now, also, we should do the same thing. Don't look at New Agers as if they have horns going under their hairs, you know, that and that they're going to be poking out of the head as soon as we get a chance and they snare us. That's not true. know, that instead, you know, we'll come across as the ones who have the horns. We need to love them ourselves, not only preach God's love, but ourselves to love them. Check any kind of negative reactions that we have in our hearts, any kind of judgment and anger and so forth and condemnation. And we need to repent of that and not condemn, but rather bring them the good news. And ultimately, you know, one of the things I think goes on when a lot of Christians are getting very upset and angry, oh, these new agents just drive me crazy, is that a lot of times people feel very powerless. And because they feel powerless, they feel frustrated. And therefore, they can't do anything to bring the new age around. So they just get more and more angry. Say, well, all right, I'll fix you. I'll condemn you. Well, give me a break. That's not going to win me over. And it's not going to win the new ager over, at least not most of the time. Really, we have to trust that before you want a person converted, before I want them, God wants them. God is the one who died for them. You didn't. I didn't. Christ died on the cross for them. So he loves them way more than I did, and Jesus wants them converted more than you want them or I want them. Okay? So keep that in mind. But besides having our attitudes towards the New Agers being ones of love, we also have to have our minds clear. All the things that we've talked about in terms of the New Age and their fallacies, we have to keep some of that in mind. And when you need to learn something about it, that's fine. But prior to learning about the New Age fallacies, let me say this. We need to have a solid basis for our own faith. Our own minds must be renewed as well as our hearts. That's what Scripture says. Be renewed in heart and in mind in Christ Jesus. All right? That means that we have to say, I'm not going to have the thoughts that I want to have. I'm not going to think up my own clever thoughts, but rather, I want to conform my mind to Jesus Christ. And what does he reveal to me? Now, this requires us to do a lot of reading and studying. And studying not just for our own faith, but studying in such a way that we can explain it to other people. We need to be able to read the Scriptures and be able to think back, oh yeah, Jesus didn't preach reincarnation, he preached the resurrection from the dead. And be able to go back to the place in Scripture. And go back to places in Scripture that forbid us to do any kind of necromancy or occultism or calling up the dead spirits and things like that. Be able to go back to Deuteronomy 18, Deuteronomy 13, and so on. So read it from that perspective. Also, study good Catholic theology books. That these books will give us the basics of the faith and be able to help us know the perspective that we are coming from. If we're confused ourselves about the faith, how are we going to bring it to others? This is where we need to read the books of Frank Sheed and the books by Fathers Rumble and Carty called Radio Replies and other things. And we're going to put the address of Catholic Answers on the screen for you to copy down. I recommend that you write to them or call them. They're called Catholic Answers at Post Office Box 17181, San Diego, California, 92117. And also their phone number, 619-541-0324. And copy that number down from your screen and ask them for catalogs of the books that they have to teach theology and keep you away from error. Also, books that give you a good sense of our history, where we've come from, tapes and tape series that are about Catholicism and our faith in Christ Jesus and the role of the church. Go to them and ask for help. They've got lots of information that they can make available to you. And not only should you read these good Catholic books, but also get their magazine called The Rock, which has articles about the New Age and about dealing with our Catholic faith. It's one of the best things around for apologetics. It's one of the only things around for apologetics. So read that. Then, in line with that, if you want to do some more research on the New Age movement, I highly recommend certain Christian books that are writing about the New Age movement. I have some with me. One of them that I highly recommend is The New Age Rage by Karen Hoyt and others from the Spiritual Conflicts Project. The New Age Rage is a fine book that gives a good, solid sense of what's going on in the New Age. And then another book that I also recommend is A Crash Course in the New Age by Elliot Miller. Now, he also gives a very solid base, and he himself had been involved in the New Age movement, and has a good perspective on it. Two other books that I recommend are by Douglas Grotius, called Unmasking the New Age. This gives a good overview of the New Age movement, and he has a companion book called Confronting the New Age, How to Respond to It. He gives a lot of the information that I've mentioned, plus other information that I did not talk about how to witness to the New Agers. Also, a good Christian book by Dr. Paul Reiser and his wife, Terry Reiser, with John Weldon, is called New Age Medicine, an area we didn't even get into. It deals with various practices of New Age medicine that we should avoid and why, in a New Age perspective. And then, of course, a book I've mentioned many times throughout the series is Inside the New Age Nightmare by Randall Bear, by someone who is also a former New Ager, and gives. That's a great book to give to New Agers who are involved. Now, you can read these books and try to get a basic perspective. And then, should you get into the ministry, and be very careful about this, don't get into New Age ministry very easily. But if you do, and read their books, you know, in order to be able to answer them, as I've had to do, after having a lot of preparation in theology and reading the Christian books first, then buy them used. Don't buy them at the new bookstores and give these people more money. Shirley MacLaine has made a lot of money already. Instead, study what you can, give people the truth, and most of all, bring them to the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior, and Redeemer. God bless you all.